Welcome to worship from Westwood Church. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my joy to welcome you to worship today. From wherever you are, at home, watching online, I hope that you feel welcome in this community today. Our congregation celebrates the diversity of people who are a part of the body of Christ and of this congregation. And we celebrate and give thanks for diversities of age and race, of gender identity and sexual orientation. We want you to know that you are welcomed and celebrated in this space. And I hope that you'll participate in our worship today. We have a worship guide that you can download that will give you words and music to sing and pray along with us today. Our worship becomes real as it becomes a part of our bodies and our lives. And I invite you to join in as much as you're ready as we lift our hearts to God together. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, an occasion to remember and give thanks for our mothers and all those who have mothered us. It's a day to consider the gift of mothering love that comes from our God. And so I invite you into this hour of worship to give thanks for a God who's known as love and to join us as we turn our hearts to God together. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all. Let us pray. It is a joy to live the commandments of love, a source of freedom from what deadens and destroys. Through these teachings, we are born again. Our spirits are nourished and our communities come alive. What a gift, the love of God. Abundant and unending, in the knowledge of this power, let all come and abide. Holy Parent, your promise is simple. In turning from empire's ways, in casting our lot with love, we abide in you. Deepen our understanding that we may trust and believe this is enough for transformation, for comfort, for building the world that we desire. Amen.
Accept each other as Christ. us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us and bring us to believe. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live.
This is a reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today is from John in chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. It continues where we left off last week as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, preparing them for his arrest and crucifixion. In this farewell discourse, he uses the image of a vine with branches, describing himself as the vine and us as the branches. This metaphor gives a visual meditation on what it means to belong together and to abide with one another. I invite you to listen for the word of God as he continues his teaching. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This Sunday, as we continue to hear the words Jesus speaks in John's Gospel to his disciples, as he prepares for his own death, as he seeks to prepare them for his absence in their earthly community, we hear again and again this invitation to a new way of thinking about who we are and how we belong together, an invitation to abide in Christ, to find our very being in a belonging, in a common identity and life that offers fruit for a world that is hungry for sustenance and for delight. In the gospel passage we read today from John, Jesus not only calls us to rethink who we are and how we exist together, not only invites us to imagine what we have to offer as delicious and nourishing fruit, but clarifies that this belonging, this finding of life in him, is one that points us to joy. It's so good to remember in this long season where it's too easy to give attention to the things that we're missing, to harbor resentments for what isn't what we had hoped, to be aware of the people missing in our midst, or our deep longing to gather together again. In the midst of this moment, we hear Jesus proclaiming joy, a gift offered to his disciples as he prepares them for the next difficult journey ahead, as he prepares them for grief and loss. He also offers the blessing of joy. As we worship this morning, I hope that you are able to sit up tall, to plant your feet firmly on the earth, and take in a deep breath, and sit with this beautiful idea, the promise that God calls us to know joy. Even here in the midst of so much that is hurting and broken, so much that we long to change, changes we hope will bring new possibility, even if we live with the ongoing anxiety of a year of pandemic and the new anxiety that comes as we try re-entering into old patterns and habits and ways of being together, lingering anxiety generated by a year of caution for prevention of the spread of virus, new anxieties as we remember how to be community together. In the midst of this moment, Jesus plants this wild idea that we were meant for joy. And on this Sunday, on this Mother's Day, as we consider this promise that we're meant for joy, I invite you to sit back, to sit up, to breathe deeply, and to listen for what God is speaking in this moment into our world. Mother's Day is a fraught holiday. It's complicated for those of us who want to proclaim a message that's hope for everyone, because so many of us have different sensibilities and emotional response as we prepare to celebrate this holiday. In its origins, Mother's Day in the U.S. was a holiday that was advocated for as an opportunity of honoring mothers. Anna Jarvis, herself childless, pushed for the creation of this national holiday in the very earliest parts of the 20th century as a memorial to her own mother, and also as a way of honoring and celebrating work that her mother believed in and gave herself to, like providing health care for all children, regardless of their affluence or economic opportunity. Mother's Day, from its beginning, was an opportunity to lift up and celebrate the work of mothering. In England, this holiday is known as Mothering Sunday. It's an opportunity to celebrate the work of all those who mother others, not restricted to biological or legal mothers, not restricted to women or women-identifying people only, but an invitation to elevate the work of life-giving care, a work of mutual well-being for the sake of others. Somehow the celebration has shifted over the years, and Mother's Day now is an occasion where you're more likely to give flowers to your mother rather than wear a carnation that honors your mother. In the early days, people wore flowers of a different color to mark whether your mother was still living or had died. Mother's Day was a day for each of us to acknowledge that we are who we are because of those who have mothered us. And in pointing us in that direction, Mother's Day then becomes an occasion for us to honor that we belong in a family, whether it's our biological or legal family, or the family of our church, or families of chosen community. We stand on the shoulders of others. We become who we are because we have received love and care from others who have nurtured and sought our well-being. Mother's Day has shifted its celebration over the years and now seems to occupy a place about honoring and lifting up the work of mothers in shaping households. And this is so important, particularly this year. So much of our lives has been relocated from public places to our household. And the work that belongs within our households, within our family units, within those we share life with each day, that is the dominant place where suddenly so many of us are doing our life and our work, our school, and everything. We may be participating in church, but we're doing it from home. Continuing in school, but logging on from our bedrooms, participating in work, maybe even connecting more broadly with those in other places, but by video chat from hastily set up office workplaces. This relocation of so many aspects of our life to our home is one that has this week prompted my reflection of what it means to celebrate and lift up the important work that happens in the household of shaping our lives. From Professor Lauren Winner, I learned the habit of what she calls dislocated exegesis, which is a fancy way of saying reading the Bible from unexpected places, literally going to sit in the lobby of a bank as you read Jesus' teachings about money, literally going to sit in front of a prison as we speak of the gospel's power to liberate the captive. Lauren Winner practices this way of reading the Bible that honors that where we sit in a literal and physical way as we read scripture affects how it is that we hear the gospel's message. Theologians have helped us acknowledge and uncover how our location influences how we read the Bible and how we access God. I think of the important work of theologians like Ana Maria Assasi Diaz, whose Muarista theology has helped us recognize the particular gifts that come from reading scripture as Latina women. The gifts that matter not only for the Latinx community, but gifts that matter for all of us because of the particular gifts that come through those who read in the fullness of their context and particularity. This is a wild idea that is life-giving for the whole of our church. This idea that each of us in our particular location, not only because of the particularities of our individual personalities and life experiences, but because of shared experiences of culture and race, those things influence how we're able to perceive God's word, and we are able to hear and see particular messages that matter for everyone, a word of hope found in the gospel. I think of the work of Kat Armus, a scholar of scripture who was for a season last year a part of our Loft congregation. She is a podcaster in a podcast called The Protagonistas and is about to publish her first theological book, Abuelita Faith, which is a description of the way of understanding faith and reading scripture, of accessing the gospel that comes through the lived experiences of people often pushed to the margins, tenders of households like her abuelita, or her Cuban-American grandmother, who as a single parent raised three children in Miami and was the centerpiece of a lived faith that belonged in their household. I think of the gifts of faith that come to us through the households that we grow up in, those we're born into, and households that we create as we create family in our adult lives, the chosen family that help tend wounds inflicted earlier in our lives that give us a part to play in the embodiment of our faith. I think there's a weird opportunity this year, a beautiful opening that comes from this season of pandemic, where we can no longer pretend that our faith belongs in beautiful and sacred buildings like this, but instead we acknowledge that our faith is formed as it's lived out in our households, in our places of life and work and school. And this year, as all of those have collapsed into one, we know that our faith is formed as it's woven into the fabric of our everyday lives. And on this Mother's Day, we take a pause to give thanks for all of those women and men who have accepted additional household responsibilities this year. For parents pushed to the edge who have sought to manage both their professional work and their work in parenting, alongside new tasks of supervising the education of their children as they log on for virtual school. We lift up and honor the gift of families who have continued to arrange and rearrange family schedules to tend to all of the things as we share Wi-Fi access points and a limited space in our homes to try to do all of the things we have to do. And now, as more activities are returning, as schools are happening in person, we continue to rearrange the rhythms of our days to manage pickups and drop-offs, to juggle online and real gatherings and in-person gatherings as we seek to be families faithful to God. I don't know what your family experience has been like for so many who had previously relied on extended community and extended family to manage all of these details. This year of pandemic, as it's shrunk down our bubbles to just a few people, has made us ever more aware of how much we belong in community beyond ourselves, how much we need and benefit from connection to others who help provide support and care, encouragement, and practical things that allow us to live our lives and to function. I think of the isolation and how it's cut off grandparents from grandchildren for so many months, not only putting additional stress on the parents of the children, but on the grandparents as well, who find fulfillment in life, in belonging together, in community. And for so many of us who miss gathering together in the physical spaces of our congregation, we've become increasingly aware that we depend on this community to give purpose and life, to offer encouragement and hope. We need to be able to give care and receive care in the life of a whole community. I've been thinking a lot about what it feels like to slowly begin reconnecting into previous rhythms and practices of communal life, to meet with others and remember how to manage small talk, to meet with others and remember how to be the church. In a strange way, throughout this season of pandemic, my sphere, the people I'm most regularly in contact with, has reduced to just a few people, the ones that I've chosen, the ones that I really resonate with and find easy to be with. In a strange way, I'm becoming aware of the challenge of returning to community life, Because real community means being together with people that are harder to get along with, that don't as naturally fit with our assumptions and habits of how we do things, of what we talk about, of how we relate to each other. But this gift of being together with people who are different from ourselves, who sometimes push our buttons and push us to the edge, is one of the great gifts of the church. The church is the place where we can not only find people who think differently than how we do, whose life experience is different from our own, but we're asked to live together in a community that honors how each of us brings something that gets us closer to the kingdom of God. We're asked not only to tolerate each other, but to see Christ in each other. And this gift is so meaningful. Honestly, some days I think I'd rather just stay in my pajama pants on my couch watching another season of something on Netflix. It takes work and energy to engage and re-engage in meaningful community, but it's work that matters. And like going to the gym, it gets us back into shape to be fully ourselves, to be well and whole and healthy. I think it's not going to be easy. I think it's going to take hard work to remember how it is to connect together, to the disciplined and ongoing work of choosing to belong beyond ourselves in the life of the whole community that is the body of Christ. In both John's Gospel and in the letter of 1 John, over and over, descriptions of God as love give us a way of accessing and knowing this quality of being together that comes as we belong in God and with one another. It is love. And it points us toward joy. But these are not abstract or ideological categories. These are practical, lived experiences. Love, in this context, is not a warm feeling that is apart from life, but is an active word that invites us to engagement in the care of others. Love demands that we show up, that we get down on our knees to scrub the floor, to offer care to others, to tend wounds of the broken, to speak up for the cause of justice, to show up with a casserole for the one who is grieving. Love demands that we be present to and for each other in the very real context of our lives, remembering that we are, after all, those who share in this whole household of God, those who mother each other, who offer care beyond ourselves, because that's how love becomes real. In the gospel text for today, we're shown a way to abide in God, to belong in a new identity that is not just us as individuals unto ourselves, us as nuclear families alone against the world, but is us located in a larger community that is life. And this day, as we prepare ourselves for that difficult and joyful work, I invite you to reflect on those who have mothered you along the way. Those who have nurtured and shaped you. Maybe it's a biological mother or one who adopted you legally, or maybe it's someone you've been in contact with in just a moment over your life that gave nurturing care. We are formed by communities of care that show us what love looks like and invite us to participate in offering it to a world in need. In just a moment, we're going to hear Bobby McFerrin's beautiful setting of Psalm 23. He paraphrased the psalm as a way of honoring his mother. And in his choices of phrase and gender in this beloved psalm, creates an opening where we might pause to acknowledge and give thanks for those who have brought us to where we are and shaped us as the people we are. I offer my gratitude for mothers, for my mother, Maureen, and my mother-in-law, Linda, for grandmothers who shaped me, including Helen and Marie and Lena. I think of mothers who cared for me in a variety of ways over the years. My classmate, Alina Uhamaka, who brought me soup when I was sick in seminary, when I had no one else to give that care. I think of my mentor, Earl Kernahan, who showed up and told me that he was in favor of me. I think of so many who have guided and shaped me to understand that I belong, that I am beloved, and that I have a part to play in the living out of love. It requires a choice in every moment, a choice for belonging and a choice for love. This day and always, I invite you to choose love. May it be so. Amen.
My shepherd, I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows beside the still waters. She
O God, as we unite in prayer, the invitation has come to us to take on the work and the life that we have come to know in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. As we have seen in the healing, caring love of Jesus, we are urged to bring that compassion to our neighbors, to the hurting of our world, close at hand and far away. We long for this spirit of love to be our spirit and the direction of our lives. We want to do the loving thing. Let us be urged to take on this work and let the ways of Jesus become our ways. We are so blessed to know love in our life of faith. Many of us have come to worship aware that the first signs of a safe and healing life come to us in the household of a family. For this we give thanks. Let us find the courage to pass it on. Some of us have sweet memories of nurturing care given and received in our families. Let this day be a reminder that there is a choice to do the loving thing, and we can always make that choice. Holy God, we are lifted by the gifts of your signs of new life as the world turns to the springtime of growing things. Even as we are being renewed, urge us to find generosity of spirit to meet the longings of those who have so little. And now, with thanksgiving and hope, as the children of God, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope you have felt God's Holy Spirit here with you, where you are, and as we are together. As always, our congregation offers opportunities, ways to go deeper in faith and in connection to this community. Details for these can be found in our Friday e-news. If you're not already on the list, I hope you'll sign up or share a prayer concern with us or let us know more about yourself at westwoodumc.org/connect. We have a follow-up class this morning at 11 by Zoom, and you are welcome there. In coming weeks, we look forward to a number of special things, including confirmation for some of our youth, Pentecost, and on June 6th, a special outdoor celebration in honor of graduates and Promotion Sunday. We're continuing to work at reopening our campus so that people can worship in this space as well as online. We hope that by the end of June that will be possible. We invite you to hold our community in prayer as we continue to deal with COVID, and we invite you to hold our congregation in prayer. Coming in June, the Reverend Dr. John Holbert will be teaching a class on the book of Job on Tuesday evenings, and there are even more opportunities to be engaged. This Sunday, following the benediction, we have a special postlude sung by our choir from their cars, another car choir proclamation of joy. It is a gift to have a community willing to continue to innovate and create and adapt to how it is that we can sing together in this place. And so, as we conclude this hour together, I hope that your heart would sing together with the gift of God's love, that you would choose love in this moment and in every future moment, that your love, that God's love, would be lived out in service to others for the sake of joy. Be in peace. Amen.